Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and the International Franchise Online Expo. More details about that coming up in just a few minutes. Today's guest is Sean McCaffrey. He's the CEO of GSTV, and he joins us right now on Social Geek. Hey, Sean.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Give me a little background on GSTV. I think it's something that lots of our listeners have seen, and they probably see it every day, but they might not be familiar with the name.
Sure. So GSTV is a national video platform. From a scale standpoint, we're in 205 U.S. markets. Our audience is 95 million unique monthly viewers, so give or take one in three adults. And we're the video platform that you see when you're fueling up your vehicle. So 3 to 5 minutes at a time, 3 to 5 times a month, we're talking to one in three adults. So we program a show every day that is a blend of news, entertainment, sports, food, music, other content, the content that makes sense for our audience at that time and in that space. And it's a pretty unique moment in the consumer journey, a natural pause point, if you will. So we often get told we have some of the hallmarks of the way people think about national TV, national broadcast, because of the scale. Mm-hmm. There's a level of addressability at a station level. If you want to be in certain markets or certain areas of the country or certain behaviors, think about, you know, summer beach weekends or fall football weekends, that sort of thing. And it's a pretty interesting business that I think is one that, as you alluded to, a lot of people know what it is, having seen it, but they don't know who we are, because the company itself is quite new. There are a half dozen or so companies that were putting things like this together for the last decade, and ultimately consolidated into one business a couple years ago.
And how did you find your way to GSTV? What's your backstory?
Sure. I fell into advertising and media, probably like a lot of people, in hindsight, at a time of great investment and great consolidation in the audio and out of home spaces. So I, my last role before GSTV, I was with the legacy iHeart and Clear Channel businesses. So I ran strategy and partnerships for the Americas out of home business. So really interesting business in a hot space at a hot time. And really following the changes of mobility and consumer behavior and sort of the blending together of media channels, the way people don't think sort of in legacy, hey, people don't wake up to buy television or buy radio or whatever. They want to wake up and find ways to engage consumers. So I was kind of in a world of that already. My prior job had a global remit as well, which was interesting to sort of see these trends take shape around the world. But for GSTV, basically, as I mentioned, it was about six different businesses a decade ago that had started to do this at a consolidated two. Those two businesses decided to combine about 3 years ago, and then they decided they wanted to look for new leadership, and they came and approached me, and I was in a sitting role at the time. My wife was pregnant and about to give birth to our first child. For lots of reasons, it was horrible timing. So I just said, hey guys, really, really flattered and nice, but it's just not the right time. We kept talking, and the no turned into a maybe, and the maybe turned into a yes, because I felt like it was a business that had a lot of opportunity, had a lot of potential. As I started to manage teams years ago in my career, I really enjoyed that side of it, sort of building teams and getting smart people together and just letting them run and succeed. And it felt like there might be something here that was, to my mind, sort of innovation hiding in plain sight. Really simply, I did the sort of classic Venn diagram of three circles and thought there might be value in the middle. One, sort of the changes in consumer behavior, less ad-supported media, less sort of at-home viewing, et cetera, et cetera. Media consumption behavior, obviously all sorts of shifts there we could talk about for days. And then this business itself, it has the scale, it has the addressability, it has the measurability, all the things that are sort of table stakes for advertisers today. And then those overlapping, there really is a new business here. And could we build upon that, tell the world about it, provide some value. And when I came in, really what I talk to the team about every day in my earliest days and now is there's four constituencies we should wake up obsessed with: brands and agencies, because we certainly are an advertising platform, mm-hmm. retailers, because we deal with, we're in over 25,000 locations around the country, and some of those are big global publicly traded retailers, and others are, many of them are small business owners. So our retail constituency, and then consumers. If I'm going to ask for 15 or 20 minutes uninterrupted of someone's life every month, that's a high bar in terms of entertainment, information, et cetera. And that's the way we continue to operate the business.
Timing is everything, isn't it? You know, as far as when you joined, and it feels like that was around the time when I went from, as a consumer, oh, look, this is interesting. There's a video screen and some audio coming out of the gas pump right now, to today, where if I pull into a gas station and there's nothing there to entertain me, there's no content to consume, I kind of wonder what's going on. So it also always felt to me like a very natural fit, because when I'm in an airport or on a train or in other places outside of the house, I'm usually looking at the phone. But when you're filling up your car and you're dealing with the gas pump, that's kind of like the one time when you have several minutes where you're not really checking your phone. You're not looking at a video or listening to a podcast on your phone while you're pumping your car full of gas. So you're in kind of this natural time to show someone some messages.
Agreed completely. And that was one of the things that I found interesting. It's this sort of natural moment of pause for a consumer. So we have attention. Can we actually earn that attention, and can we drive engagement? We do lots of things with the show and programming to try to make sure that we do. And we study our consumer in that regard. So the fundamental difference sort of with our audience is the day that people fuel up is a day very different from others. And that might sound logical, but we commissioned some data from MasterCard to look at a year of just consumer spending online, offline, you know, morning, evening, midday, et cetera. And then ask the basic question, okay, the day that people fuel up, i.e. the day that GSTV engages, is anything different? And it turns out it is. It's much, much higher consumption in grocery and big box retail and QSR, in pharmacies and things like that, which kind of follows logic. You know, saving time has surpassed saving money as a consumer need, albeit we all, of course, don't want to save money. And rarely do you just stop and fuel up and that's it. It's probably a quick run inside to grab something. It's a stop across the street at the QSR or whatever.
Or it's probably also payday, right? I know most people, that's probably outside of a quick stop at a gas station, really fueling up the car is probably twice a month or, you know, whatever your pay schedule is.
It can be, for sure. I mean, it's funny. I've learned more about the fuel and convenience sector in the last couple of years of leading this business than I, of course, ever thought I'd know. And I ask everybody that I come in contact with, friends, family, you know, folks outside of the advertising bubble, if you will. And I have some friends who are contractors and build houses, and they're at the fuel station three times a week because they're driving a dually, you know, $80,000 dually pickup to job sites everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I have some friends who drive hybrids and other fuel efficient things that are, you know, maybe two, three times a month. And, you know, the natural thing with our audience is it's an existing consumer behavior. So you don't have to interrupt somebody when they're scrolling through what's become 300 feet of content every day or can't wait to skip that pre-roll ad. But that's also a responsibility. If we're talking to one in three adults, I hopefully won't waste your time. Hopefully you walk away with something that's at least mildly interesting, if not hopefully entertaining. And we continually work on the show, both internally with a content studio and then with outside publisher partners, to continue to get better at that. That's one of the things that, again, those four groups that we obsess over. Consumers is one where 95 million people is a lot of people every month, and that audience continues to grow. So it's a responsibility to make sure we entertain and inform.
Has there been an evolution from regular old traditional TV ads to more engaging content on the screen at the time?
Absolutely. So both in what you would consider content as well as commercial. So from a content standpoint, the show itself today looks a lot more like what you would see in a digital channel, shorter form content, headline updates, whether it's news or not, but shorter form things, because people are trained now to look at a lot of information in a short amount of time. And from an advertising standpoint, that's something where our best advertisers understand that as well. One of the large beverage companies we work with, for example, does a lot of television, a lot of digital. They have big bets on music and sports and sort of things, but we're much closer to the point of consumption, whether that's 20 feet away in the convenience store or across the street at a QSR or the multi-pack, you know, down the street at Walmart. So they understand there can be a call to action in our space. You can literally tell somebody, you know, go buy it now. And we do a lot of things to measure that as well. So yeah, our best advertisers understand that they can be more direct depending on the category. But on the flip side, we also work with some advertising partners who are much more infrequent purchases, financial services partners and auto partners and things like that, where they want to move people down the proverbial funnel into a conversion, but that conversion is, you know, once every couple of years because it's an automobile or once a decade, maybe it's a mortgage or what have you. So we work both ends of the proverbial spectrum, the immediate consumption items, as well as the long-term sort of brand thing, because if you think about it, it's a very habitual and serial engagement. So as you alluded to, twice a month, four times a month, five times a month, whatever it is. So you've got permission every time a consumer shows up to kind of keep iterating on your brand story or keep iterating on your value prop. And we think about the show the same way. You know, next time you pull up, there can be a new episode of XYZ. We work with Live Nation, for example, who obviously, you know, is massive in the live music business, has the cultural currency with artists and fans. So we have a segment in the show called Soundbites, powered by Live Nation, and it's sort of backstage interviews and stories from artists. But each time you pull up every week, there's a new episode of Soundbites within our show. And so that's to some degree the same thing commercial advertisers can do if it's a sort of larger purchase, more infrequent purchase, unlike QSR or beverages or things like that.
I love the idea of music related content because I just got out of the car after I pulled into the gas station. And what was I doing in the car? I was probably listening to the radio really loud. So you're kind of seamlessly going into some music content. And even if it doesn't exactly match my taste, there's kind of a nice transition there. I like that a lot.
Exactly. That's the thought. Yep.
And I also like what you were saying about automotive companies, because as I'm sitting there fueling up my 10-year-old car and I'm watching some content about a brand new model, I'm probably looking at my car thinking, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to make that switch sometime soon.
Yeah, I think that was the old belief is hey, it's contextual. You're talking to people while they're driving. And as you just alluded to, it might be an older car where you're already thinking about replacing. And that's still valid. We're sort of right place, right time, right context for a lot of advertisers, but particularly automotive. On the flip side of that, modern automotive marketing is very much about understanding where people are in the funnel. And most of the auto manufacturers try to drive their investment against that very, very small percentage who is identified as in market for a car right now. So if you get off this call and Google search for an SUV or something, you're going to get assaulted with digital ads for the next 2 weeks because you look like you're in market. And I think it's not one or the other. It's how you tune the dials. And for us, we have... Going back to your point about content, we have some auto manufacturers who really use us for what I would call more upper funnel brand things, to talk about the new vehicle or the new features or sort of a new vehicle introduction. And we have some who use more mid to lower funnel things with a price or a retail promotion and so on. And it varies by region. It varies by manufacturer. And then we all see it as consumers. Look at right now, right, with what's going on with the impact of COVID-19 and coronavirus. Most of the auto manufacturers have pivoted to pricing incentives and other things beyond the traditional brand. But yeah, the automotive category is great partners of ours, and interesting to see how marketers within the same category will choose to use us differently.
What other things have you changed very recently due to COVID-19? And just so everyone knows, we're recording this in April of 2020. So if you're listening to this podcast 2 years from now, congratulations. We all made it, as I know we all will. But just for some context, right now it's April 2020. And Sean, what are you guys doing differently over the past 6 weeks or so?
It's a great question, and I appreciate the dateline for posterity's sake, because things are definitely changing day to day and week to week, right? Yeah. So we asked every question as we started to see this sort of coming forward, and our headquarters is in Detroit. Our next largest office location is in New York, and then we've got teams around the country on the West Coast, East Coast, et cetera. So we started to see on a personal level and a community level the impact very early.
Yeah.
So we have a good portion of our company that's remote every day. So it was a relatively seamless transition into fully remote for the company. And we're doing a lot of things internally to take care of our teams, make their health and safety a priority, send them some things at home, do a lot of, we're leveraging video conferencing like we never have before. But in terms of our actual platform, what's interesting is we're still live. We're deemed an essential business, fuel and convenience retail. So we're still live around the country. We saw a spike in traffic early on at stations, and then it settled back a little bit as people people have gotten fuel. But convenience is one of those places that you can grab a lot of items very quickly, convenience retail, and not have to be around a number of other people in sort of large gatherings, that sort of thing. So a number of our retailers are, you know, are doing quite well. The ones that are smaller businesses, we're doing, we're organizing some bulk purchasing for them and doing some things to help sort of drive some scale there. So retailers we're working with closely. Brands and agencies, we work with the biggest brands and agencies in the world and a bunch of small businesses and everything in between. And so we're being a great partner to them in the sense of some have had to pause campaigns because the product's not in market right now. Some have pushed back the start date because of timing, that sort of thing. And we're rolling with all those changes. And then for those brands and agencies, as well as consumers, we're taking a look at the platform and saying, you know, how what's relevant now in our show?
Yeah.
So you don't come to us looking for hard news. At the same time, we're supposed to be something that's entertaining and informative and a little lighthearted and fun. So we have worked with our content partners. Cheddar, for example, is a great news partner of ours. And Cheddar is batching us daily content called Cheddar Good News. And it's not naive or Pollyannish or anything like that, but it's kind of bright spot updates of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, something uplifting and not terrible. Yeah,
exactly. Everybody else has seen, you've seen the latest reports on, you know, whatever your news channel of choice is. We're working with the CDC and running their messaging around the country to get that word out that obviously there's a lot of good places. We're working with Feeding America, which is, we have an existing relationship with, and one of the important charities that helps with food scarcity, which obviously isn't a regular issue, but it's a bigger issue now. And then we're working with some other partners of ours. Huge is a creative agency that I'll shout out. And actually their Midwest team, their Chicago and Detroit teams came up with this idea. It's a platform called Dining at a Distance, which anybody can go and Google, but it's a platform that the food industry and the restaurant industry's gotten behind, and Huge has really helped put it together along with some other partners. But it's a simple place for any consumer to go and understand what food businesses are still open in their community, and they can order delivery or takeout and that sort of thing from. And our audience already eats a lot, as I mentioned, and we're coast to coast, and we're still very live. So we felt like that was a great cause and a great organization that we could support. And there's a number of other things like that we're working with some of our brand partners as well to be very local. The auto companies, for example, that have really pivoted their manufacturing from vehicles to ventilators and masks and PPE equipment. We, our creative studio, put together some content to thank those factory workers and those automotive workers very near the local plants around the country to say thanks to them. I mean, we're a for-profit business, of course, and we're worried about continuing to grow our platform. But my team is as much or more worried right now as making sure we're being a good partner to the industry, the economy, and the consumer health and safety of everybody out there. And so we've pivoted a lot of things to the show during this sort of COVID-19 period, if you will, to make sure that we're taking care of everybody out there. And you know, the monetization and continued growth of GSTV will happen in its normal course. But right now, it's about doing some good.
Yeah, and it's a great way to serve your customer, serve your audience. I was just thinking that even though lots of people aren't commuting every day and gassing up as much as they had been, there's still a lot of people who are driving to work every day, including first responders and including medical professionals, let alone all of the delivery drivers who are probably gassing up even more than typical. So you still have maybe a smaller but more important audience to some extent right now. Would you agree with that?
I would. And we're actually running some messaging to thank those people as well. Kind of an everyday heroes, you know, not all heroes wear capes sort of thing, just to say thanks, because you're right. I mean, I'm someone personally right now, I'm a couple hours out of New York City, and the UPS and FedEx drivers have been busy coming to our house because we weren't prepared for an elongated stay. Mm-hmm. And those people are mission critical to the economy. I went and got groceries a couple weeks ago for a massive sort of stock up trip. And the people working at the grocery store are first responders in this as much as anybody else. And then obviously the medical professionals, probably all of us have medical professionals somewhere in our family, and hearing the stories of what they're all going through and dealing with as well. So completely agree. The platform is fully operational right now, coast to coast. Of course, as you alluded to, people are driving a bit less right now and so on. And I'm not concerned about that in all reality. I'm not looking at a daily scoreboard of sort of is traffic up, is traffic down, because that's not how we think about it. We think about where can we help those four constituents, as mentioned. This is just a point in time. And we as a society, we as a country, we as a media and marketing industry, and our retail partners as well, we'll get through this, so to speak. But what behaviors linger and what changes sort of snap back to quote unquote normalcy? And either way, how did we behave during this period? You know, and that's an area where I really want to give a shout out to my team, because we've got folks around the country, many folks who helped build this business and some who are relatively new, but without exception, they've all really come forward as we've asked the team and asked the company, what should we be doing right now? You know, how can we help you as employees, but much less, how can we help our partners? And lots of good ideas. And so it's been really validating to see the caliber of talent and the passion within the company to do some good things. And as I said, you know, we're certainly a for-profit business, so I'm concerned about growth. But right now, our priorities are certainly more focused on how we can be good humans, good citizens, and good partners, mm-hmm. if you will.
Any thoughts, or do you want to take a stab at any trends that you see after we emerge from this thing, or maybe some behaviors that will linger moving forward?
It's interesting. I'm probably like a lot of people in the media industry, and I'm drinking from a fire hose every day of news alerts and various prognosticators. And I think they're all well-intentioned. You know, I tend to believe there'll be slow return to normalcy. You know, if the light switch analogy is often used, this one was more of a dimmer, right? Mm-hmm. We slowly went to sort of stay at home, and we're going to slowly return to some sense of normalcy. And for our business, we don't deal a lot with probably some of the categories that will have a longer term issue. For example, travel and hospitality, right? I do tend to think people will think a little differently about air travel, will think a little bit differently about cruise travel and things like that for a time. At the same time, we deal with a lot of fast-moving consumer goods and other highly consumed things where as soon as people are going back to school, back to work, back to their offices and that sort of thing, all of those categories need to advertise. I think I have two young children. I have family spread around the country, and we're on video conferences and Zooms with our children's school, with family members around the country, and everyone keeps commenting about there's a silver lining in all this in terms of actually recognizing humanity again, right? Mm-hmm. And how when we all are forced to slow down, there's really some benefits to that. And so I think one of the things we're focused internally in our organization is there actually have been benefits to this. I know more about a lot of my employees than I did before this happened. And a lot of my teams feel like they're closer together than before this happened. And we were in a pretty good place, we felt like, already. So how do we make sure as a sort of GSTV family, if you will, that those things don't go away as soon as there's a return to some normalcy? So I think people are going to probably get their heads out of their devices a little bit and want to be together. At the same time, you know, being together with a group of maybe 10 or 20 friends and family members is different than going to a stadium full of people So.
Yeah. You mentioned travel. I also think that whenever we emerge from this, I don't see most people running to the airport to get on a plane to go to Europe or other parts of the world for a vacation this year. I think the rest of this year, and maybe even next year, is going to be the year of the road trip and the day trip and, you know, going somewhere out on the highway instead of flying halfway across the country or the world. So it could be a very good time to keep some great content going as more and more people emerge and are probably going to be hitting the road this summer or this fall.
Yeah, it's a great call out, and I tend to agree. And I think it's for folks that have the luxury to travel or some that travel regularly for business, I tend to agree, and I think people will be more judicious about, is it necessary travel or is there more risk to the travel? On the flip side, there's a huge part of the population that doesn't have that luxury, right? That it's always road trips or can't travel or doesn't travel that regularly. And so it's an interesting question. I think it's something we're monitoring very closely with our various data partnerships and retail partners and so on. And I do think for fuel and convenience, it's something that will really shine a light on our platform in particular. So I think, you know, the fuel and convenience sector is over 3% of US GDP. I mean, it's a huge economic driver, fuel purchases and food purchases and things like that. And the fuel and convenience retailers have done a heck of a job in many of the past years building these suburban stations that are, you know, mini grocery stores and food marts and that sort of thing. And so it's a place that I think what we've heard from some consumers is it's an area that consumers have rediscovered, if you will, during this time. Because they can't maybe shop the way they normally would shop. So we're all going to read a lot, I think, over the next 6 months. And though I don't think it's time yet to lay down the biggest bets, on what changes will linger. But I'm pretty pleased to see so many partners that we work with and so many folks on our own team really step up, I think, at this time. And my hope, certainly as just one person, is that some of this humanity that surfaced during this period continues once we get through this.
Well said, and amen to that. Sean, we're going to be back in just a moment with some contact information if people have some questions for you. But first, I wanted to mention that the International Franchise Expo goes online May 28th through the 30th. In addition to the rescheduled live event in October at the Javits Center in New York City, where we will be podcasting live, by the way, the IFE is unveiling an online version of the 30-year-old Expo on the original dates of May 28th through the 30th. Exhibitors will have an online presence where they can host live meetings, distribute collateral, and interact with interested candidates from around the world. The expo will be similar to the educational programs as the live event, with recorded presentations by franchise industry leaders, downloadable white papers, articles, and more. As we emerge from the pandemic, MFV Expos and partner IFA are here to help you keep your pipeline lead flow healthy. Register today at onlinefranchiseexpo.com. Sean, thanks so much for being here today. If our listeners have questions about GSTV or maybe they want to get a little bit more information, where can they reach you?
Thanks for having us again today. GSTV.com is the home for all things GSTV, and you certainly find out more there. And me personally, I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter. First name, last name, you can find me very easily, and happy to chat with anybody who's interested.
Excellent. Thanks for that, and thanks for being here today.
Great. Thank you as well. Take care, all.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We are here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.